Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Anal Podcast. Again, because of pandemic issues and constraints, our model and release schedule got a little wonk. But today we do have a short anal probe segment. It will be Mike and Rochelle and I preparing for Wednesday's Drugs, Drugs, Drugs episode. Join us as we discuss some of our personal limits when it comes to the topic in preparation for the Wednesday one-on-one episode with Rochelle and I. I would like to include a trigger warning. There will be discussion of drugs in these two episodes, today's as well as Wednesday's. So settle in, relax, and get ready for our newest anal probe segment.
Do we talk about strain names a little bit?
No, but actually, Mike, welcome to our Drugs, Drugs, Drugs roundtable. We are talking strain names and dispensary experiences. Do you want to talk a little bit about your dispensary experience in Arizona and success that you have or had not had in the medical marijuana program? Or not? I can totally bleep all that out.
It's very successful. I feel like every time I've gone to a dispensary in Arizona, it's been a very nice experience. For the most part, every bud tender I've interacted with has been... They've been chill, and it's been pleasant. It's not stressful going to a dispensary.
In general, would you say that every time you, or just about every time you're leaving a dispensary, you feel like, man, I could hang out with him or her? Yeah, that's kind of the feeling that you get from going into a lot of dispensaries. Here is everybody is friendly. Everybody is welcoming. Everybody wants you to. I don't know, ask them for information, ask them about their preferences, ask them about what works for them, because it's all, I guess, just, we're all just sharing information and,
I see how the Pennsylvania bud tenters want to be that way, but I can see by how they are recorded constantly and the laws impose quite strict limitations on them. Like, example, if you're like, oh, I was looking at your menu, and you go to pull out your phone, like so that you can show them the screen, you're not allowed to have your phone out. So they like will stand up and like put their hands out and show their hands to the camera. And it's just, there's some very awkward, weird experiences because of the, I mean, the alcohol laws in this state are bizarre. It's no surprise that the medical marijuana laws are bizarre.
You said it's only been 2 years, right?
Yes, I got my card about 8 months into the first year of the program. I am getting my third new card this coming February.
I'm Googling it right now, but I think... okay, so the... medical marijuana program started in 2010 in Arizona. So
you literally have been at it a decade.
Yeah. So I think you're still like a little baby state over there.
Baby fledgling.
Yeah. Yep. They got to figure it out in PA how it's going
to
work.
Well, the thing is they kind of got an idea and then switched to be ready for recreational. Is what happened.
So they just want to jump straight into recreational?
No, I don't think they want to. I just think because when I first got my card, it was fairly clearly like no reference to it being medical. It was the medical program is like how everything was referred to. When I renewed, I went back and they had changed the name. They had changed the website. And on the website was now set up for medical and for recreational. You had to re-register as a medical patient. So the infrastructure within the dispensaries has been set up for at least a year now.
I mean, they probably just took software that was already developed.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, remember, our laws are stupid, so they divided lobbies. They split entrances and exits at the one particular dispensary that would have had to have done that because the way it's dumb. Everything has to be airlocked. Like,
that's really
there are banks that are less
weird.
Secure.
Yeah. All right.
Here, like the waiting room is, you can just see everything, and like it's right there.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix.
Like at Urban Greenhouse, you can just like see everything. There's no door or anything.
You even get to see it till you're at home, and you open your sealed brown bag that you had to store in your trunk for the drive. Can't see it. Can't smell it. Can't touch it. Can't open it.
Nope. You get to look at a website icon that is the outside package that you get handed in a bomb bag.
That's very different.
It's all very hush hush.
Yeah, like, it's not very open here.
So what strains, we were just getting into strains, Mike. What strains have you found successful for you and why?
Really, like, Tangy is probably one of my favorites because it's a good sativa. I don't know. It makes me, like, wakes me up and it doesn't make my brain feel all cloudy.
Gotcha. So a tangy gives you a clarity and it gives you like energy and an uplift. Nice. Yeah, for our listeners, for those who don't know, a tangy has a very heavy orange taste to it. And the terpene profile in it tends to promote uplift, energy, sometimes a little creativity. There's one in particular that I particularly like. It is 24 karat gold kosher tangy. And it's special because that parent plant was blessed by a rabbi.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
That's a thing. Look it up. 24 karat gold kosher tangy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, kosher.
Nope. It's a thing. So it's divine. It literally tastes like you've bitten into an orange peel, and I love it.
Would you say that tangy also helps with just like your general anxiety, especially if you smoke a little, we wait, and then just like go out into the world, the general public? Is that one that kind of helps with that, just interacting with people?
I find any sativa typically helps me interact on a social level, especially and be able to keep a smile on my face.
Yeah, that's why I like it. Because it can, it helps me going outside of the house.
Yes. I have found, though, a certain liberation in the fact that I can lie with my eyes quite well. And I can literally walk around with the grumpiest fucking frown on my mouth with my mask on and just keep my eyebrows up and everyone thinks I'm super smiling. Nope. Grumpy. Moving on.
To make you feel better?
No.
To know that you're just like pissed?
Nah, nothing makes me feel better. But that's okay. That's what time's for, right?
Yeah. It does kind of make me feel better. Sometimes I'll walk around and I just have like my teeth showing. You know, like a when the dogs do that thing and they like kind of just show their teeth. Sometimes I just do that and I have my eyebrows lifted like I'm smiling. But if you take my mask down, and nobody fucking knows. Like nobody knows.
Right. Right. But you want to know what something that's funny about that? Did you know doing that thing with your face and raising your eyebrows actually forces a neurochemical response in your body the same if you were to smile and mean it? Did you know that?
I didn't know that,
If you really feel down and you force yourself to smile, it will force your brain to start going to places that would be appropriate for that facial response in your mind. Try it. Next time you feel super terrible, just smile. Set a timer and just smile and keep your eyebrows high for 60 seconds and see if you feel any better.
All right. I'm going to do it.
Do it right now! No,
so that's how those Nexium people got through the branding torture.
Wow, you got weirdly doubled and probably. No, that's fine. It sounded really cool. I'm going to leave it. In one of the last episodes, I said something and I added reverb to it and I loved it. So that's a thing I do now. When I make a grand proclamation, it's going to go reverb!
You just love to feed your ego.
Listen, it's my That's show. Great. That's literally what this is for.
No, I know. I love it.
The show is called Anal Rob's Ego.
Oh, goodness.
No, listen, I think this drug episode is really important because nothing against boomers, but boomers, you make my life hard. But I don't think they really grasp the benefits that a lot of them could reap from these programs when they think it's just for like strung out druggos because they were programmed by a war on drugs that was driven by money, just like everything else in a capitalistic country.
Exactly.
Yep.
And if they would take a minute to relax and look at actual science and step back from this age of anti-intellectualism and try it, just try it, I think great success could be found. But people are too hung up on what they were taught, and changing a belief is painful, even if it's for the best. So to put something like this out to someone who's 50-50 on it, they might be able to say, okay, well, there's at least three people now who had very problematic struggles that have found great success in a natural plant that grows out of the ground and not from a pharmaceutical cocktail.
Exactly. And you know what? All that's doing when you're buying that pharmaceutical cocktail, and I'm not against pharmaceutical, like, I also take
they're
other,
required, but that yes. system is broken. I understand what
yes.
you're saying.
There you go. Yes. Because I do also need other medicine. I take that and I understand I need that. But at the same time, there, I feel like the war against drugs, quote unquote, was because, yeah, there was no money in it. And there is money in
putting...
Well,
no, there was no taxes in it.
But there's
the money,
money
went to the people who had the drugs.
Exactly. There's money in putting people in jail. There's money in having people addicted to other pills. But there's not as much money for rich people to get richer off of people using plant medicine, which is... Wait, you're going to have to say it for me. Psilocybin.
And, oh, which for our listeners who don't know that, psilocybin kibenzi is the class name for magic mushrooms. They grow wildly in my locale. You can go through the woods, find them, dry them up, eat them up, and go, oh my God, there's snakes in the trees. I'll probably reverb that.
Oh my God.
Simon.
All right, show off. You don't have to tell me that you can say that word too. I just can't say it. But anyway, there's not as much money for rich people to get richer off of that, because it does. It grows in the wild where you're from.
Get yourself two seeds, plant it in the ground.
Exactly.
It can grow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tax that, and that's a problem. Now, I personally, back before the legalization of medical marijuana, found a strain that worked for me. I got it as a sapling, and I grew it in a closet for years and years and years and years and years. And when I got my green card, my boyfriend was like, look, get that thing out the closet and get your green card. And I was like, you know what? That's fair. So I got my green card. I got my green card. And didn't need the closet anymore. And it took me a good 6 months and probably $500 or more to sort out what I needed. And I had found the Girl Scout cookie strains, that particular terpene profile for my inflammation. It's got to have at least 3% CBD in it, because that entourage is absolutely critical for anyone who's using it medicinally. That literally was like a life changer. Like 2 days with a pen 3 times a day, and my fingers could close the whole way, and my feet fit in my shoes. And it was just like, this isn't real. Like, this is a fluke. I'm having a good day. You know, then 3 weeks later, none of my pants fit. You know, my shirts are hanging off me. It's like, okay, maybe this isn't a fluke. Switch to another strain. Got super stoned, swelled up like a damn balloon. So GSC is my go-to. What was your go-to, Rochelle?
It's always been King Louis.
Well, yeah, Indica. Yeah, I can see that.
King Louis, Paris OG. Yeah.
All the offshoots.
Sure. Two of my favorites.
Have you tried, if you're mostly using for sleep, have you tried switching to an hour before bed microdose edible? If you were to switch to that type of dosing schedule, you could get yourself a nice balanced hybrid and be able to actually, like, quote, get off work, have a few puffs of a hybrid, and actually be able to get a nice little tingle on, probably.
One thing that I've done is there's places that sell kind of like a concentrate type in like a syringe I don't know, so you can just kind of like dab a little bit onto like a cookie.
Here they call it a dart. Yeah, they call it a dart in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so I do that a lot.
That's why I asked. That seems like an absolutely perfect delivery technique for you.
Yeah, it's prime. I like that.
So, because me personally, I struggle with tolerance because I'm not going to lie. I like to get a buzz on for fun, but mm-hmm. I have found that the medicinal benefits far outweigh the ability to catch a buzz. Yeah. So I will trade in that buzz 1,000 times over to not swell up and, you know, have my tongue so big that it's smashed in between the teeth in my mouth. That not having that is definitely worth not getting intoxicated.
Yeah.
And also, weirdly enough, I've just realized I've been sober for like 1.5 years now. So lack of intoxication is pretty standard, minus, of course, the medicinal level of marijuana, which I can't call a complete lack of intoxication because I'm sure it's there. I just don't necessarily mm-hmm. experience a mind altercation. Is that how you would call tolerance? I still experience the effects for mm-hmm. sure. But I don't get high.
It's the cerebral effect that you no longer have, that your tolerance is built up to like the top level, I guess you could say.
Well yeah, so, when treating inflammation, yeah. That's where you want to be. I still experience the effects for mm-hmm. sure, but I don't get high.
It's the cerebral effect that you no longer have, that your tolerance is built up to like the top level, I guess you could say.
Well yeah, so, when treating inflammation, yeah, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, you can't really go above that. And like,
well, no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
So I know if I want to catch a buzz, I can reduce my dose to just at night oral. That way it mostly focuses on my intestinal, because that's where the bulk of my true issue is my gastrointestinal health. And as long as I always have at least 5 milligrams of an edible before I go to bed, the worst of my symptoms are primarily under control. So if I'm like, I'm going to a concert, because we totally do that in a pandemic, I would just take the edible only. I would suffer through a little bit of mild inflammation, you know, and that would be okay. And then when the concert came, I'd get myself a nice sativa to counteract, you know, what I usually use, and then it'd be game on. So would you call your state medical marijuana program a success?
I would, yes.
For you personally, for as well personally. As for the communities they serve?
Yeah, I think so.
Mike, you concur?
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you would like to add in on any of our former topics, especially like the decriminalization in Oregon? Because like me and Rochelle got into some pretty really deep pre-episode stuff that we decided is only for Patreons. And we're talking like $20 a month Patreons, because that is a untapped well of.
That's a lot of feels.
So, that is like OnlyFans stuff there. We're gonna be crying on webcams. Crying on webcams.
There it is.
So the whole decriminalization thing comes with an intangible amount of concerns and lines in the sands and difference of opinion that our country seems to be feeding off of right now. So that's just a huge can of worms. Like right now, I'm going to throw out a for instance. Let's say that you really enjoyed cocaine. It's your favorite thing to do. You do it every day, all day. You've got the money to have it, and you have it. Okay. Now that you know, if you can go live in Oregon and pay a fine and go through a treatment program instead of go to jail, so that you can have all the cocaine you want, are you going to go to Oregon?
Well, if you already have enough money to afford that much cocaine, then yes, you are going to Oregon.
That's a good point.
Do you think this will open up Oregon to literally be a decriminalized drug hub?
Yes, it will.
Now, do you think that that's a strategic endeavor because they're decriminalizing minor possession, but they're not decriminalizing the trafficking?
No, they're definitely not decriminalizing that or creating, like making or selling. And if you are caught with a small amount and there are other charges against you, those other charges don't all of a sudden drop. Like, say you're caught with a small amount of some substance and you also attack a police officer and you also, I don't know, like shit on the sidewalk and you also did a bunch of other things. Like, those things don't just go away.
Right. The only thing that does go away is the hard time for the possession, from what I understood from what we read.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily like, okay, everything's legal, you can do whatever you want.
No, it's just the penalty you suffer are going to be far less. And I was just thinking to myself, if I was personally someone who used hard drugs, it would probably be desirable to me to know that I could do that there. And instead of spending hard time in jail, I would just be forced through a state ARD program, which, for anyone who don't know, in Pennsylvania, that's a DUI program. If you get caught driving under the influence, you can lose your license or go listen to people tell you about how not to drive under the influence, essentially.
No, you already know that you fucked up.
Yes, it is quite frankly a joke of our judicial system, but that's another episode. We'll get into that later. I have some gray area concerns about the precedent that decriminalizing hard drugs has on a single state that chooses to do so. I don't know if I think that maybe national decriminalization, like something that like the LEAP program, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, has more envisioned, where it's treated more as a mental health issue as opposed to a legal issue. I feel like if that was a nationally instituted program, it would be less desirable to pack up and move your criminal empire to Oregon, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, the thing I was thinking when you were talking about, like, if a drug lord or whatever the hell wanted to move to Oregon and wanted to move their operation there, like, I guess what they could do potentially is recruit a bunch of people to do like their deliveries and just try to make it really random, because the more people you could enlist, like the less likely they're going to get caught, you know, more than one time.
Yeah,
right?
And essentially if you get caught with any quote real quantity that wouldn't be classified as personal use, you're just as fucked as ever because you're a drug dealer and that's a problem.
Yeah.
It would only be individuals who are like, I'm going home because I got an 8-ball. It's going to be a great Friday. And they get pulled over. You know?
Yep. Exactly.
That's what it's designed to protect. And it's not that it's protecting them. It's designed to put them into a treatment program to help them if they want to. They can pay this fine. From what Rochelle was saying, they can choose to take the more legal approach. I think that you can do that when you get a DUI here.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the ARD. You can go ahead and slap on that ankle bracelet and sit on a house arrest for 6 weeks.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Same kind of thing here, too. If you get a DUI and it's your first, second, or how many, how much, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Just pay the fine. Move on with your life. You're fine with that.
I typically have very little patience for individuals who drive under the influence, because unfortunately for me, another reason why I'm such a jaded individual is when I was around 19 years old, a friend of mine left my house after hanging out and watching movies with my family and got hit head on by a drunk driver, nearly cut the passenger in the car in half, shattered her spine. And that I have no real patience for people who get behind the wheel under the influence.
So one thing that I was kind of, I knew I was going to vote yes on Prop 207 in Arizona.
Well, yes.
Passing. But one of my concerns was definitely that there is no current test out there that can give like an on-the-spot reading of, did you just smoke a joint? Are you really high? I mean, right now, I haven't smoked all day. but there's still marijuana in my system because I smoke every day.
Yes, if you got pulled over, you would get a DUI.
Exactly.
That problem exists here too.
And I would want that to be solved, but I guess that's more of that technology, that test, that it's just not out there. It doesn't exist yet. But I mean, that's always something that I think about a lot.
Yeah, I know an individual who was in an accident on the way home from a methadone clinic and got a DUI.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how that law works around here. So, and it's the same. Like, if you have a green card, you will pretty much get a DUI if you've used in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an issue. And I know, like, there was a lady who was in a fender bender somewhere not far from where I live who got a DUI. And she's like, was it work? Like, headed to work. Definitely not under the influence, but I'm fighting a DUI.
Wow.
No, but that's obviously gonna hang for a while because courts are still pretty slow around here. How about there? Do you know how your court systems are running? Would your cousin know?
I have no idea. I don't know. I have no input on that at all. I don't have any legal things pending, so I have no insight.
I've been watching the Supreme Court pretty closely, and everything's off till spring, just in case you were wondering.
You don't need that. Just wait till spring.
No. Just hang on. We're going to wait and see what the new administration looks like. Fantastic. There's so many gray areas with decriminalization of hard drugs, with when some places CBD is still criminally prosecutable. Like, that seems like such a divide in our country right there. The fact that if I go to Oregon and get caught with a bag of heroin, I can go to class or pay a fine. Mm-hmm. And if I go to Disney World with CBD, I can go to jail.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Well, that's our country.
Yeah, people love to say we're the United States, and we've never seemed more independent.
Yeah, it's never been that united. I mean, there was a fucking civil war.
Fair, but I think it was fought over a good reason.
Well, yeah, it was, but I mean,
the question is, will the next one be fought over a good reason? I guess whoever wins gets to decide that.
Well, yeah, the winner writes history.
William Barr said so himself, did he not? Sitting in front of our
Well, it's Senate? Just a fact. It doesn't matter.
Is. I mean, I'm not denying that.
Many people have said it way before him. So.
And me, and you, yeah. Let's say that LEAP got through, the LEAP logic, which is essentially the decriminalization of hard drugs and treat people who use them as though they have a mental health and addiction issue, which I think is a kind of good plan. Let's say that was to just, okay, boom, that is effect right now. You can go do whatever you want. It's perfectly legal. You can go to Walmart and pick up yourself a nice clean bag of heroin. They'll show you how to do everything you need to do because it's perfectly legal. Would you do it?
Nope.
Me neither. Now, coke, would you do it?
Nah.
Me neither.
No comment.
Well said. marijuana, obviously all three of us have our green cards, so obviously it was marijuana, the no-go. What about mushrooms?
Hell yeah. I would have a pack in the fridge right now.
Same. Hell yeah. What about LSD?
I haven't tried it yet. I want to, and if it was legal, I would buy it.
I have to say Fair. Another no comment.
Well put. I will, however, comment. I have tried it twice. It is an incredibly intense experience, and unfortunately, no matter how hard you say I want it to be done, it is not done. So users, be aware.
Yeah, that's
and I can't think of any of the other on like any other MDMA. I just hit my drawer. I have never done MDMA. I don't really think I have a desire to try it.
I don't know enough about it. Oh wait, no, isn't that ecstasy?
Yeah, that's I think it's
I would try that.
See, I know it punches holes in your melon, and I don't know if I'm down for that. I've had a concussion before. I got enough holes in my melon.
I mean, if you do it, like, a few times, it's not going to affect you. It's like if you consistently are doing it.
See, I'm not sure if I buy that. I think once you hit your brain with a designer drug like that, I think there's always some type of small innate change. You are the sum of your experiences, and that's going to be a chemically induced intense experience. So you have to think that's going to change you in some way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, in a profound, like, deep personal way, but
what doesn't have to necessarily even be that. You could simply come out of the experience being a little more spontaneous than you used to be and never even notice. That's a true risk when you take a drug that can bore holes in your literal cerebral cortex.
It might make your life better.
I'm not denying that. I'm coming from a Switzerland stance here. Something that I do think that is super important, given the topic and nature of this discussion, is that if anyone does struggle with a drug and or alcohol issue and or problem, there is help out there. We went through a few websites and we did our due diligence and made sure that they were legitimate. And I will post those in the show notes, but the one that I would like to particularly mention is the American National Helpline. It is the SAMHSA Helpline. I did not know that this exists, and I feel ignorant because of that. So I want my listeners to know that the number for the hotline is 1-800-662-4357. I will put that in the show notes as well. And then again, that's 1-800-662-4357. 1-800-662-HELP. There will be a couple other links in the show notes. The additional websites that I'll include in the show notes are for the NIAAA, which is a part of the National Institute of Health, as well as the drugabuse.gov, which is also part of the National Institute of Health. And I will provide those in the show notes. If you or somebody you know needs the assistance from those services, please click those links, share them with friends and family. It's a very turbulent time, and drug abuse is an epidemic that this country suffers from, and the pandemic seems to take center news. But this is an issue everybody still lives with. So if you need the assistance or someone you know does, reach out. Anything to add, Mike or Rochelle?
No, I think that was a perfect final thought. I don't want to ruin it.
No, don't ruin it, because I can edit any ruiners out. That's the power of editing.
No, I really don't have any other thoughts. I think I gave them all.
Thank you for joining us for another Anal Probe segment, listener. We're very excited about our Wednesday's episode, Drugs, Drugs, Drugs. So please join us Wednesday at 8 p.m. when we release the new episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review anywhere you found our podcast. It helps us get noticed. We love it when we get noticed. Do you or somebody you know have a great idea for the Anal Podcast? Feel free to leave us a message at anchor.fm/analpod. You can click the Message Us button there and leave us a voicemail. We find ourselves embarking on some pretty turbulent times here in America, friends. So it's important to stay close to those you truly care about, but never closer than 10 feet. Wear your mask. And as always, listener, stay safe out there.